So financial wellness is getting into what I call the things that I didn't teach in school. Balancing your checkbook, how to pay your bills correctly, how to understand what APR means. What does it mean to have a balanced transfer from one credit card to the other?
Welcome to our podcast, It's About Payroll. We're your hosts, Brian Escobar and Walter William Duncan III. Whether you're new to the payroll game or a seasoned veteran, we have something for you.
Welcome back, folks. This is episode 103. It's about payroll. We're talking about, we actually have a guest today, Nabo Omana. But before that, we got some pay news for you. And how you doing today, sir?
I am doing good, sir. Let's get right into it, sir.
All right, my first article is about AI. Right? 39% of employees believe that the current level of AI involvement in the HR process is appropriate, whereas 20% prefer more. So it's the AI conversation. Paychex did a study and they revealed that benefits and challenges of AI and how the opinions vary across HR professionals. This study found that 41% of employees surveyed prefer less AI involvement in their company, whereas 39% say just leave it out how it is, and 20% said no, they want more AI. The professionals who responded to the survey, 85% say that AI provides useful data and analytics, and 79% believe it's helping to reduce bias. So,
yeah.
Almost all of them think that it's good, but they're so split on whether it should increase, stay the same or not. So it's interesting because we constantly talking about this subject. The link is in the show notes if you want to dig on in. So I just wanted to share that little bit of it. What you got for us today, sir?
I also have something really quick. It's so much information that I'm not going to go through all of it, but I will also share the document or the link for in the show notes as well. But the Pew Research Center did some research about AI and the exposure to jobs, workers, and stuff like that. Fascinating data on that you can go find out for yourself. And I'll just give you three different percentage points, and then we'll move on from here. Of all workers that are currently employed in the U.S., 18% of all workers have jobs that are exposed to AI. Right. Meaning that, and that's right now. So that was as of 2022. So percentage is definitely going up. Right. So think about that was 2022. As we evolve, yeah, more, that's going to impact more. But at this time of this article, it was 19%. Put that into a more of a different understanding. Women at that time were impacted by 21% and men, 17% of men workers in the U.S. had exposure to AI. They're coming out with all these different tools. They're coming out with all these different things like ChatGPT or OpenAI, rather. They have something that's called Sora that's out there. It's this text to video. And they're saying like how a lot of these editors are going to be impacted by that. A lot of these video people are going to be impacted by that. But you just type something in and it can create what you want in an instant and make it look very real. It's going to be impacting those people. Now, on the flip side, with the last couple of stats that I have is from the education piece of how people with degrees are going to fare versus people who have some college and high school degrees. It says your exposure to AI, if you don't have a GED or if you don't have a high school diploma or less, 3%. If you are a high school grad, have 12% exposure. If you have some college, it goes up to 19%. Here's the tricky point. When it gets to plus, it's back in 2022, it was 27%, almost 30% jobs. So that was back in 2022. So and that's what we found interesting, because I know we talked about that before. Man, like, why are the people with the degrees being impacted more so than the people who don't have degrees? And my idea for that was like, oh, companies may be able to save money because they won't have to pay those higher salaries. They can pay somebody who's maybe not has a little bit lower standard education, but can do the job.
Yep. Yeah. It we're going to continue to see how it shapes the workforce, but it's definitely going to have impact. As HR and payroll professionals, I urge us to just stay on top of it, get in the know, learn more, be the liaison, be the practitioner that kind of implements and ushers in the AI and the technology instead of being a victim of it, really.
It's absolutely.
So, good stuff, man. Because our guest should jump on any second. His name is Nav Omana, and we're honored to have this titan of the HR technology field, renowned for his expertise in shaping HR technology strategies, processes, and systems. Our guest stands out for their thought leadership, innovative use of technology, and deep knowledge of HR technology vendor community, excelling in creating new solutions to complex business problems. All right. They're a strategic thinker with a knack for operational efficiencies, known for their role in transforming workforce and HR practices through cutting-edge technology and strategic planning. Join us as we dive into a conversation that promises to shed light on the future of HR technology, operational transformation, strategic planning, payroll, all through the lens of our distinguished guest, Nav. Or no, we'll find out in a second. Welcome, Nav, to the show. How you doing today, sir?
Doing fine, thank you. We're, I think, on the tail end of a very large rainstorm, so I'm dressed up a little on the warm side today.
And you're on the West Coast, right?
Yeah. I'm in San Francisco, and we've got the record snow in our mountains, including, I heard last night, 195-mile-an-hour winds at the top of the peaks. And
oh, goodness.
That didn't sound right, but what can I say?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay, that's so crazy.
I haven't been to San Francisco. Do you get the four seasons there?
No, we like I say, it's a very, we're West Coast, laid back. We get the fog. We get a little bit of the rain. We had a drought for a while, but I think we've certainly come out of that. We don't have a snow in the city, but we have had snow in the hills type of thing. But Tahoe is 4 hours away and it's like another world.
Wow. That's awesome. I got to visit the West Coast soon. All right. So, Nav, tell us, how'd you get into payroll? How did your work begin overlap with payroll? It seems like you have a strong HR technology, but you tell us.
Well, I kiddingly say to most of the people in both HR and payroll, you fall into this discipline.
Oh, God, yes.
I always say, and I'm still looking for the exit, and I can't seem to find it. So
once you're in, that's it. We keep you.
I had worked for Bank of America for quite some time and as a teenager, just working, if you will, Saturdays and so on. Sure. And when I got out of college, they offered me an opportunity to go through data processing, which at that time was relatively new to what was going on in the bank. They'd always had a lot of electronics going on, but human resources and that became a little more prevalent. So I was assigned to their internal project to upgrade their payroll system. I will tell you, I will put it to you this way. We had never imagined that taxes would go over $9,999.99. Well, the first time that Social Security went over that 10,000 mark, we scrambled. So it's time to get a new system. So I literally found myself working on a brand new payroll system from the scratch. I won't tell you how many vendors were, but there were that many in the field. So it wasn't a whole lot of choices. But once you get into payroll, you begin to appreciate its importance, if you will. And to me, there's just a lot about payroll that we'll certainly talk about it. But it's at the heart and soul of a lot of things that are going on these days.
That's right.
Awesome.
That's great. So let's talk a little bit about what you do, right? We brought up these topics about what does payroll look like as an end product? And what does that mean? I think I know what it means, but I'd love to hear what you mean by it.
Yeah.
This episode is presented by TimeTrack Go, the simply better employee time clock software that is going to make your life easier. In addition to the unique graphical employee time card that helps you quickly identify and fix mistakes, TimeTrack Go is excited to announce it's now compatible with QuickBooks Desktop, providing effortless data transfer and reduced errors. TimeTrack Go will not only save you time and money each week, but the easy-to-understand user interface and the ability to turn a tablet into a time clock will get you and your team up and going
in just minutes. Find out what a simply better solution can do for your business. To learn more and sign up for your 14-day free trial, go to www.timetrackgo.com. That's www.timetrackgo.com. Or you can call 888-321-9922. That's 888-321-9922. Let's go.
Well, I guess I would characterize my career literally from day one as being in the human resources payroll. And I always say human resources, but it really does include human resources, benefit, payroll, all of the popular terms of recruiting and engagement and all the stuff we have. So I just call it HR just for briefest situation.
Sure.
But literally, I have been in that HR technology area, looking at and working with the technology that supports this growing area. It's become even more important as we've gone to a hybrid workforce. But the interesting thing about payroll, which has always been the mechanics at the back end of most systems, and that's the way I think people look at payroll, is that literally payroll is the system that touches everybody from the CEO all the way down to, if you will, the janitor, if they're being paid by the company. So you look at that and you say, there's no other system. And I truly mean that. There is no other system in any organization that touches everyone. Yeah. And so when you stop and think about that, payroll is the heart and soul of the workforce. And I will say from my experience, and I won't go into it in great detail, but I certainly know when you make a mistake in payroll, everybody knows it, including the CEO. And it's one of those kind of things where it has always been the mainstay. In fact, like I say, my first career in that HR technology space was working on a payroll system. You had to pay the people and take the taxes and all that stuff. And the mechanics of payroll has always been pretty straightforward. There's a gross that I'm going to be paid and take out all my taxes. And then you give me some net at the end, and maybe that's a check or a direct deposit or whatever. It's all the things between gross and net has changed vastly. Taxes have changed. New taxes are being brought in. If I'm working in two or three different locales, there's different taxes in there. There's benefits in a pre-tax and a post-tax and so on. You have garnish. So that whole range between gross and net has become very volatile. And again, staying on top of it is part of that payroll world to stay very much in compliance. And to me, payroll is, like I say, the heart and soul of what we're trying to do sometimes. And it does touch everyone.
Wow. Yeah, you're right. And it's the, like you phrased it, the end product, and it's the end product that everybody, we had somebody on the show that says payroll is life. And
yes.
I say this story, Adrian Resto. Yep. And Adrian, shout out, because I'm trying to reach out to him, but he's so busy. Anywho, we say this story a lot because me and Walt were in preparation of that first interview with Adrian. We were like, well, gosh, he's really taking this seriously. Payroll is life. Oh, goodness. And when you hear him speak about why he thinks it's life, it's very similar to what you just said. He said, well, Brian and Walter William, my hands is responsible for paying all of these employees. And those employees go out and pay their mortgage and they eat and they live with the money that I am responsible for delivering. And I was, I paraphrase, but I was like, holy crap, he's right. He's right. Sure. We've been doing payroll over 20 years and we're like, wow, we just never thought about it like that. When you articulate it so, like that, it's such a different impact. And you're right too, because you're the one system that hits everybody in the organization, as opposed to, hey, I use this other system here and it's just my team that touches it and then nobody else uses it. It's the one thing that hits all. It is the one end product. And yeah, that's incredible.
Well, I would say that Adrian was quite right, because the old adage, we work to live, we don't live to work. And literally payroll is the end product of living. If you will, we get that paycheck, as he say, it's what allows us to do what we need to do for ourselves and even extend that, like coming to San Francisco one of these days.
Exactly. So now tell us a little bit about, is this your company, Collective HR Solutions?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about that and what.
Yeah. Well, as you can see, the sign behind me, there's just a lot of things. But I have to say, and interesting enough, this sign was made almost 20 years ago. So our business has been in existence 20 years.
Congratulations.
It is a model that I have adopted. Everybody that worked for me are contractors. And that model really has allowed me to bring the right types of people to the clients that I'm serving. And for the most part, I'm there to help them assess their technology stack. Do they need to upgrade it? Do we bring in something new? Do we just quickly, shall we say, clean it up sometimes? But, and you'll hear me say this a couple of times, that the information that we collect in the world of HR, being HR benefits and payroll, has to have the highest integrity and the highest accuracy, because we are now recognizing that this is an information asset that really reflects the workforce. And for me to run a business, I've got my financial systems, I've got my CRMs, I've got manufacturing, whatever supplies it. Suddenly, we recognize that the workforce as a system and information is a very important perspective to run the business. As a manager, as a CEO, whatever the case may be, you need to know what your people are doing and why you're paying them as well. So, we've been in this business for quite some time. And like I said, the primary sector that we serve are what I'd call the small to medium business. I find them to be very agile, open to new thinking, and really, in some cases, they have the same big problems that the other guys have got, just a limited budget and perhaps a limited resources. So we try to leverage that. But I've enjoyed this particular sector for, well, a lot. The gray hair says it all, for a long time.
Nice. I love it. So now, being in that situation, how do you use analytics to help your clients make, do you use it to help them make decisions, to see? That's what analytics are for, right? We hope it drives great business decisions. Do you find that's the case?
It's interesting you say, you're right. The analytics really do drive great decisions and the data-driven decision-making perspective that we talk about all the time. But I think people have been a little bit reluctant to move from reporting to analytics. Yeah, reporting is always, and especially, let's go back to the world of payroll very easily. Here's all the people are paid. Here's a list of the people. Here's how much it costs. Here's the taxes we file, et cetera. That's great. Analytics is a kind of a layer on top of that that basically then says, how well run is that payroll perspective? In other words, let me take a look at everybody who's married but claiming only one exemption. What does that indicate to me? Now, are they undertaking their payroll taxes and then having to pay at the end of the year? So those analytics, and it's not to be, shall we say, invading the privacy, but more along the lines, do they know that the reason they're having to pay so much at the end of the year is they don't have the right exemptions on the W-4? So analytics is looking at how well people are positioned to do the right thing across the board. And I love analytics. In fact, I will come back again to the world of payroll and say, we have not delved very much into the world of payroll. And I will say associated with it, the time production side. In other words, if I have to put my time in, if I'm an hourly worker, that time really is a productivity database that I would almost say most companies should say, everybody fills out a timesheet, including the CEO. And the reason that is because that shows you exactly what the workforce is doing, how much time they're spending. If I had a manufacturing situation, I know I'm tracking the time being spent on the shop floor. I can relate how much time is done for the output of the product. Are we doing a really good job? If we increased our productivity and not have to go to overtime and maybe put in new machinery, we have the same level of product, but less people time being spent. Just, to me, analytics is really the thing that drives this collection of information. And that's why I go back to the idea that the accuracy and the timeliness of the information we're gathering is very key to run the business. And the workforce information, I call it a workforce information asset, for lack of any other two.
I like that. And that's a great example too of I've never thought about the using that data point to really drive customer service, as you were saying, not to be invasive and, hey, you guys aren't withholding, but do you know that you could be or under withholding? Have you had, and hey, this is why.
It made me immediately think about being empowered or feeling.
That's a great way to put it. Absolutely.
The way you explained it, that's how it made me feel, man. The way that he articulated that, it seems like it was like to educate, to empower, to make sure that people, and that's one of the things, reason why Brian and I even started this podcast and one of the other shows, is because we wanted to power, to help, to educate. And so I never thought about using analytics to do that, to your point.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense. I'll give you another example. And I say this from the standpoint, having a consulting company, all of my consultants have to fill out timesheets. Why? Because I'm going to build a client. But it also tells me, what are they doing? How much time are they spending? Can we make sure that they've got the right tools? But it's not so much that I want to impact the revenue being billed to a client, but let's say I want to have an efficient operation. So I need to know, oh, by the way, Brian, it seems like you're spending half the time necessary on this project. And Will is out here, or Bill's doing this, and Nova's over here doing this. And so the analytics are telling you an awful lot about both people, their productivity, what's going out to the client, quality, it even gets in there. So like I say, to me, the analytics are very key. And so, like I say, to me, the analytics are the next key. I would like to toss one more subject on top of the analytics, and that's
intelligence. We were just talking about it.
Right. AI, what can I say? The fact they call it artificial intelligence kind of says it's a little closer to the humans than I think. I want to give it credit.
You're right.
But anyway, so the idea of, to your point earlier about empowering, I think that's a very excellent way to put it. AI will start working with the workforce and understanding a little better who I am and what I do in the company. And so it might say, hey, no, you're on the production line and we just had a brand new machine come in. We're going to provide you training before you go to the shop floor to do this. So AI is going to look at who I am, where do I work, what do I do, and oh, by the way, are all the tools I need there? And here's a new tool. So let's get him trained on that and so on. The world of benefits. I just got married. Oh, by the way, here's a long list of things you should do. Let's change the health plan. Let's add an extended on our life insurance and so on. Yep. It hasn't been around for a while. But quite literally, it might say, and there's a new financial wellness, which I think we will touch up on later, and I'll get in more detail. But the idea is, as an individual, the company, I'm here to help you understand and empower you to do the things that make you whole, if you will. If I am helping you and having good enough information, providing you guidance, and you take that guidance, you come to work better prepared to just work, because you don't have this financial thing sitting over here carried from home. Every time I have to sit down and pay the bills, I'm finding that my paycheck is out of sync with when my credit cards are due and I'm paying fees. All that stuff, that's the world of financial wellness is becoming very important these days.
Yes.
By employers to give their employees. And so we'll go into that in more detail. But yeah, that's the beauty of AI, is helping us try and understand how best to use our money, if you will.
It's great that you brought up AI. We started this episode with two articles that were revolved around AI. And one of the things I'll share with you is 41% of employees surveyed prefer, and this is HR professionals, 41% of HR professionals surveyed said they prefer less AI involvement in their company's HR process, while more than half are content with the current rate of AI that's involved, and 20% want more AI. So we're very right. They kind of split between, no more and leave it as it is, and only 20% want more. And it makes me think of, when you think about the life cycle of a product, and when you're bringing a product to market, right? You got your first time, I forget what they call the market mover, but your innovators at the beginning of that process, right? The innovators are going to be interested in these new things, whereas the laggards and maybe the medium, they're going to be like, we'll see. Prove it first. So it makes me think, and I guess AI is going through that natural product life cycle where only the innovators want, right? So it's very interesting that. So now let me ask you this. How are you already planning or using AI in your consulting?
We are recommending, and I think I mentioned earlier, I'll just say that I run what I call a technology review council, and this is just about 800 people out of my network who are interested in one thing alone, that's called new technology. And that's what I love. I have to see. So I invite vendors to come to the table, present to this group. They don't all show up at the same time, but I do record them. And quite literally, I've seen over 300 products in the last 3 years, roughly. And I have to say, AI is now predominantly on the front end of this perspective. So when you, I'd love to see that survey done maybe a year down the road. I think you might find a major switch, because I would say, well, if you've read Crossing the Chasm, a very old book about that, but it's quite literally as you described. You've got the early adopters, you've got people who are going to be dragged into this, and then you have, and I hate to say it, call them Luddites, but that's the people that are going to be, they won't even move that's from where they are today. And so as a result of that, if you do that survey, you'll find that people today who are, I'm okay with the AI today, probably will want more, because they will see it's not replacing their job. It is actually accentuating the kinds of things they can do. And then, so I'm a huge proponent of AI used for the analytical purposes, but you have to be careful. I go back to the data. What you give to AI to start cranking through and assess makes a huge difference in the answer you get back. So if I am using my company information only, then I'm looking at myself in the mirror, so to speak. But you can get some pretty good understanding. The moment I start opening up that to look at my competitors or maybe the people in the industry, all of a sudden I get much more insights, because I'm being compared my data with other pieces of data. God forbid I open it up to the internet, it just goes out and says, okay, some of that information is correct, some of that. So you have to be a little bit cautious about it. And I tell my clients that all the time. Be cautious about what there are no benchmarks, no right answers per se. It's really more of an indication of what to look at, but it won't give you the answer to, of what to do, at least certainly not now. So AI is a good tool to tell you, here's what's going on, I think.
Yep. And that's what we're urging and talking about and preaching in the payroll in both shows, is that we're a long way off from AI doing payroll independently without at least one practitioner being involved in the process. Not that AI couldn't do it, because I have every confidence that it actually could, but I think as humans, we're far from allowing it to do it on its own, and we need that human interaction. And it makes me think of airplanes. There's another book out there. Oh, crap, I forget the name of it, but Robert Carr, I believe, or Robert, goodness gracious, I forget his name. And he talks about how technology is taking over, how he goes to planes. He says planes are being flown on their own. Those pilots are there for our well-being, so that we see that there's a human up there, because we probably freak out if there's no pilot. And they're like, I have every confidence that it could, but I think that we're just way far away from that, where a company would say, all right, yeah, no more payroll people, just let the system do it. Yeah. That we're far from that. But yeah, and we say that it's, if you are afraid of AI, embrace it, be the practitioner, be the one that implements and liaisons for your company and usher it in. Yeah. That'll ensure your place. Yeah, that's good stuff. Well,
yeah, to your point about payroll, it's truly I'll call it a fairly mechanical process. Now, like I said, it's a gross to net calculation. It then deposits it. But it's interesting what I've seen, and I'll give the credit to the payroll people being very understanding what payroll really means. If I have a time system, they're seeing and probably catching the errors, mispunches, somebody clocked in but didn't clock back out, manager approved the timesheet, whatever. They're the ones that are catching at the tail end of this process. Before we go through payroll, this is bad data. Go back and get that corrected. And they're the ones. And now, as much as we think that AI could catch that, AI might say, last time it was approved, I'll let it go. We're done. And it turns out that was wrong. And to your point, I think we need humans. And I have to say this, AI is being programmed by humans so far. And we continue to make mistakes. I know I do once in a while. My wife writes me down that.
Just to correct my quote, it was Nicholas Carr, and the book he wrote was The Shallows.
Oh, okay.
The Shallows.
I'll have to write that one down.
It's really good. He talks about just technology and how it's changing our brains, really.
Yeah.
What the internet is doing to our brains, The Shallows by Nicholas Carr. One of the examples he brings up is GPS, where some folks were very skilled at navigating without any type of GPS. And then
you knew how to read a map.
You knew how to read a map. You knew how to, you knew how to read the sky, right?
Yeah, and exactly.
Use that.
Sun's over and, here.
Yeah. Sun's there. That, you know, it all means something, right? And how the GPS just wiped that skill set out of some folks.
I
learned how to use a map. So it's not gone for me yet. But yeah, it's very interesting. And folks out there afraid of technology should go ahead and read this book because it's very telling about where it's going.
It really but, is. Not to extend beyond the GPS, but you remember the Yellow Pages?
Yep.
Yeah.
We were Google looking the Yellow Pages, looking, oh, nah, I'm looking for plumber. Maybe I should go look over water maintenance or something.
Yep.
So we, in a sense, that's exactly what we've been doing. We've just learned it differently. And then somebody came up with Google and there goes the Yellow Pages out the door.
Yeah.
I would I would ask the person who's reluctant to look at it, is it better off now? And the answer is yes. I suddenly have an entire world to go look for it, not just a book that's published for my area. So exactly. Like I said, for me, it's just improvements come with fairly big gains, but a low acceptance.
You gotta embrace the change. And that's the thing. There's a stat, I don't know about a stat, but a claim that I've come across in reading that humans reject change even if it's good. Just instinctively, we first reject it and we need to be convinced that this is good, even if we know it's good. So I think that will save us for a long time as far as AI is concerned.
You could do an entire episode on change management.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. Thank you for that idea. I think we'll run our way with that.
Right. Yeah. Writing it down right now.
AI is starting to show up in the oddest spots, but change management is undergoing a little bit of that AI touch where it says, let's do a profile of the people who are going to be affected by this, and let's see how well they progress in career. Maybe they've been doing this for a number of years and really didn't have any desire to move, or others that have been more accelerated in their path and so on. You start looking at how people adopt change, and you could really craft a change management thing with a little bit of AI help. Who needs a little bit more help and feedback mechanisms too. You see it in customer service, frequently asked questions and so on, get changed to, hey, no, we haven't heard from you in a week. Are you really using this thing very well? Or are you still using your spreadsheet over here on your desk? So,
That's true. William just embraced that surveys this last year for his team, and he's gotten great return surveying his customers for payroll. Right. And getting feedback. Perfect. This is how you impact change. When you listen to your customers, what do you need? What are we doing right, wrong, et cetera? Exactly. And I think that's becoming more of a part of our strategy. And that survey feedback loop is super important. And I segue into financial wellness. And I think that's how companies are learning. Wait a minute, crap, I need financial wellness products. Right.
Yeah.
So like you asked, Nov, how good is your financial wellness program for employees? Is that something that you're asking your clients as you interview
them? Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So if I were to put in the kind of framework that says, if I care about my employees, and I say that people are our most important asset, et cetera.
Yeah.
So the question then becomes, and I love that perspective, this is we're getting paid for the work we're doing, and that's allowing us to live. To go about and live our lives outside of just work. Yep. So financial wellness really speaks to the fact that if I have an exceedingly attractive, meaningful financial wellness program, it is an excellent retention device. In other words, people are going to look at that and say, here's all the things I get from the company today, and I'm going to move for $5,000 a year more over here. And I ask the question, so what does your financial wellness look like? And they go, what? What do you mean? Well, I'm going to pay you $5,000 more. What more? You want more money? You know, I mean, a financial wellness program to help me really spend and accumulate wealth. And so I find a lot of companies do not understand what that really means, but it is an excellent retention device. And for those people that have the wellness programs in place, they are making sure that they're telling the employees about it all the time. And we'll come back to how that works. But you look at it on the flip side, when you see a job description that says, yeah, we have 401k and extensive vacation and blah, 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 blah. I don't see financial wellness in there. And yet that would be an exceedingly meaningful attraction device. So you've got an attraction with financial wellness, and you've got retention with financial wellness. So I keep asking my clients, why wouldn't you put financial wealth in this? You've got the front end and the back end of getting people. And it seems to be very important when you start putting those in there and start talking about it. And that's the problem. A lot of times companies don't communicate really what they do for their employees. And I have a recognition program. I should be talking about that in the job description. We recognize our employees. We pick people who are either voted by their peers, by their manager, selected randomly because of completed, whatever it is, but we recognize our people. We make a big deal about it and so on. So those are the kind of things. Like I say, to me, advertising what we do is a good start. And HR is horrible in marketing. I'll just say
that. No, you're right. You're right. Yes, you're right. We've got a ton of examples there, but
wellness, as I would describe it, and the early start to this came in something they call earned wages access.
Mm-hmm.
And literally that was simply, we know you work half a pay period, let's say.
Yep.
And so let's say I make $1,000 a pay period and I've earned 500 of that already halfway through the pay period. So I now have access to that $500 through some mechanism. It used to be called an advance. I'd go to the payroll people and I need an advance for $100, and they'd go look at the payroll register and see how much I really make and all that. Now that's a very automated situation that doesn't even bother a payroll person. You can request it. It knows exactly how much you've worked, how much you normally earn. Maybe the company says, we're only going to give you access to 50% of what you've earned to date because we have to take taxes out, et cetera, et cetera. But there's a limitation. But by the same token, I now have money in my pocket early in my account to pay my bills in a timely fashion. And that's something, again, I come back to this idea that I gave you that thing, but I didn't tell you why I gave you that. So here's the financial wellness includes, if you will, the content behind it, the training, the familiarity. Yes. Why do we do this for you? And how do you effectively make the most of this so that you're paying your bills, you're not having to pay late charges or anything like that just because our payroll period is slightly out of sync with what your credit cards are due? Or, hey, by the way, start setting aside money to pay your bills early so you don't have to do this every other month and so on. So financial wellness is getting into what I call the things that I didn't teach in school. Balancing your checkbook, how to pay your bills correctly, how to understand what APR means. What does it mean to have a balance transfer from one credit card to the other? Oh, by the way, if you don't pay those things on time, here's all the interest that you avoided, came right back to you. All those kind of things is part of the financial wellness. And there's a phenomenal amount of people are moving into that arena and adding and contributing what I'd say enormous amounts of information that are really, I think you'd have to say, I used to have to go to my financial counselor to understand.
Right. And who understands that? Yeah, who has that? Yeah.
And here's where AI comes back into that play. It says, okay, well, let's fill out a little survey, Nove. I got a family. I've got two kids, they're in this, we're putting them in dependent care, blah, 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 blah. What's the best way to manage my deductions and so on so I make the most effective use for the most possible? Here comes AI saying, yep, here you are. And oh, by the way, you got a raise? Let's do this with that instead of this.
Yep.
And so
I love it.
It'd be nice if they can work the tax code into that too. Oh, it's okay.
You're actually right. Yeah, I have to say the IRS code is pretty straightforward and it does shift once in a while. It's pretty straightforward stuff to understand. To your point, that I think that kind of financial wellness program allows that the employer to feel confident that they're giving as much information to their employees as possible to manage their wealth while they're working for them. And if I can do that well, I probably don't, if I'm doing it well myself as an individual, I'm coming to work with less pressure, less stress.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really actually concentrating on work. Mm-hmm. And it affects the family and their well-being. So there's just so much benefit from doing a wellness program. And then you extend that, like I say, the earned wages was the first thing. There's a lot of places that will actually offer things like legal aid, financial aid and things of that nature. or access to financial counselors, and that just simply to say having a 401k is great, but how should I be investing myself, and how am I day trading, you know, my 401k, right, or am I really having a more of a well-planned retirement perspective? I have to say what's interesting is I'm seeing retirement plans coming back, and I thought, wow, that is an interesting perspective. But
oh, really? Employers are offering retirement plans?
Yeah.
Not 401k?
They're starting to look at that from the standpoint, not so much because they're looking for longevity in the job.
Right.
But the idea that the retirement plan could potentially, and I'm predicting this over time, so don't quote me necessarily, but we're watching things like health benefits portability happening. And I was talking about that a long time ago, simply because it just made sense. If I have a health plan and I leave an employer, why can't I keep that health plan when I go over here and I keep some of the benefits that come with it, and the employer's paying what the other employer was paying? It changes the whole world of benefits. And
Definitely does.
Yelling at me now. But this idea of being able to, as a contractor, for example, Upwork and a couple other places are actually offering benefits to contractors because they don't have benefits and they have to go to the marketplace. So they're saying, hey, I have 10,000 people sitting on my database as contractor. I'm going to go broker health plans, life insurance, disability, and all these other things that normally apply. That's the new way things are looking. So I look at it, things are changing. So retirement plans are coming back in some cases where it makes sense. There's certainly advantages for retirement plans. There are certainly some, shall we say, pitfalls if you're not careful. But I think we're going to start seeing a couple of places where retirement plans are going to come back into style.
Have you seen any financial wellness programs, demo them recently that you like?
Well, yeah, I've seen the earned wage access situation probably a year and a half plus ago.
Yeah,
and I would say now you got the Ceridian's new name, Dayforce. The Dayforce wallet is one. UKG has one very simple for the ultimate Kronos merger.
Yep.
They have that.
Yep. ADP.
So I am seeing that happening, and the vendors, instead of being little startups doing this stuff, they're now incorporating or they're partnering with these people.
Yeah.
And so that's happening. The wellness programs, I think, that are really new as I see them is this idea of truly a financial counselor who has, and you can pick from like a list of people that have been qualified to do a wellness plan for you. And literally, the smart thing in a wellness plan is if I was an employee, if I used Brian, he's got a 4.5. But I see 5s out there. Maybe I should go talk to William about that. So the idea, it's almost you're giving your employees the idea that they should be looking at this. It's an opportunity. It's being paid for by the employer to a degree. And this is the interesting thing. You want to find out if somebody's really interested in financial wellness, charge them for some of that. In other words, I'm going to subsidize you for $100 a month for this kind of stuff. If you want these other extra things, you got to pay for it. But is it worth it? In some cases, it may very well be. And it doesn't have to. This is, I think, what I'm seeing from my clients. I'll put it in the context of this. My clients are saying, this is a pretty costly situation for me to have to do. And I keep asking them, what is the cost when you lose that employee?
That's right.
So it's, so it becomes the idea of cost versus to the employer level. And what I have seen in some cases, like the earned wage access situation, was cost to the employee for transaction, but free to the employer. In other words, just stick it in there and away it goes. Yep. And so that's the kind of stuff, like I say, it's very mutually beneficial to the employee, and the employer's not at a loss, but they get to offer that. And somebody's making some money on the other end and is going to, you know, use it or don't pay for it, that type of stuff.
Yep.
So I think we're seeing an awful lot of, in fact, I have to say, it's interesting when the vendors, I talk to them when we get to the contract side, quite often I find that they used to charge per person per month type of thing, PPE, they call it, or PPM. And I'm finding now that some of the vendors are getting smart enough in some modules to say, we're going to charge you on a per usage basis. And I'm going, yay, finally, like a recruiting program. Why would I charge a company for a recruiting program that's got 2,000 people and they hire 100 people a month? what, or a less? How about if I just do it on a per usage or per candidate basis? And so they're starting getting smarter about that. I suspect that AI will get in there too somewhere.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right.
The vendors, they say, this guy is not using these modules. So if a customer service, maybe I should go to them, talk to them about, yeah, you're not using this one. So let's get rid of this one. You're not using it. Let's go do this one over here. Analytics. I should have said it up front. I'm a data junkie.
Oh, I could tell. Yeah. I could tell. Yeah. And I just, speaking of financial wellness, I had just demoed a company recently that I thought was really good, but their model was, their pricing model was 100% on the employer. And yeah. I thought that part was tough because it was in the hundred thousands a year. Now, granted, it may cover your whole workforce, but that's a lot, right? That's a lot for a company to commit to give, like you said, to give them products that they may not even use.
Yes.
Exactly.
I like that hybrid model that you just said, hey, maybe I'll cover some, but you guys have to cover the rest if you want to really leverage the tool and the service and the product. I like that model. And I liked it so much that I told the person demoing, I was like, do you all have this product for direct to consumer? Because it was B2B. And they said, yeah, we do. But they didn't, she wasn't really selling that part. Oh yeah, it was like afterthought. I'm like, you really need to be pushing this. But that's me. Financial wellness is important to us. We do another podcast called It's About Your Paycheck. And it's your first step in financial wellness, right? Yeah. We're just trying to get folks sparked and excited about being, and where else would you start? Your paycheck. Understanding your paycheck, leveraging your paycheck, understanding some rules around. Yeah, financial wellness is near and dear to us. And I like seeing these new products that come out that are helping. Another one, it's funny, we talk about earned wage access because when I first saw it, I was worried. I thought it was having the adverse effect. I said, how is this helping employees' financial wellness? And the company I had demoed at that time, they had already had the statistics. And they said, Brian, honestly, 80% of employees are seeing a better result, are managing their money better, are impacted positively because of this product. I was like, oh, wow. Oh, this is great then. Again, financial wellness is important, and I'm glad to see it become more a part of the conversation for HR technology and being offered to employees. And it's a must. I demoed something recently and I was like, hey, do you have earned wage access? And they said, no, but it's on the roadmap. So they knew that, ooh, we don't have it yet, but it's coming.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you that financial wellness is probably going to fold into the world of benefits. And here's the reason behind it. And that is what I'm seeing is, and there's right now three different platforms right now that are essentially offering this, the ability to have a marketplace of benefits, to which earned wage access would be one of those. And here's a list of all these things. Here's, as an employer, I'm going to give you $250 a month to spend. Go out in the marketplace, do what you want to do. Wow. And literally what they're doing, and here's the real key to this one. They're using the 125 plan, the FSA.
Yes.
Which saves the employer Social Security because it's pre-tax.
Yep.
And it saves employee money. And it gives them I as an individual can say, I don't have any dependents. So why would I spend money on a life insurance? Well, let me go, maybe I need more motorcycle insurance or whatever the case is, or loan with a credit union because I want to buy a new car.
Head insurance.
All these things. What's coming to the table. As a wide variety of access that the employer is giving to the benefit of the employee, because the employer's got a major population, and you're somebody wanting to sell something into that population. HR needs to start marketing itself. It really needs to say,
you're right.
Here's what we do for our employees. What do you think? And it doesn't really sometimes cost the employer anything to do.
That's correct. You're absolutely right.
Great conversation. I'm excited about where that means. Of course, from a system standpoint, I'm even more excited because that means it pushes the vendors to have to come up with something new, which means work for us in the consulting world. But like I say, I think my clients are really very astute as to what it is that's going on. They're finding the crossover of technology and their operations is coming closer and closer together. So you can't ignore technology, to your point.
Yep.
I belong to an organization called IHRIM, which is the only HR technology organization out there. Ooh. And it is really an amazing thing. We're every time somebody comes to a webinar, I go, I didn't know you guys existed.
I didn't either. I just wrote it down. I'm going to join.
That would be wonderful. I will tell you, I think you would be, we really have to say it's been in existence for quite some time. Again, the gray hair says I've been around for a while. But yeah, I think the world of human resources, payroll, benefits, and HR really are the most sought after, most invested sector right now that I can see. And we have not even wrestled truly with the whole hybrid workforce situation.
No.
The fact that my hybrid workforce is not only not in the office, but they are consisting now of full-time employees, hourly employees, contractors, temp people, all interns, all kinds of stuff. And the world of HR, what used to be, those things would go over to accounts payable for the contractors. Now, you got to put, if you're going to look at your workforce, you have to have everybody who's working for you in one place to do that.
That's right.
And
that's
so
a way, that's an interesting way of looking at it.
Exactly. Yeah. And so if you're going to do it well, people would tell me, we have our contractors over there and temps over here. We're just taking in employees. I said, take the word employee out of your vocabulary and put in worker. That's really a word. We're managing the workforce.
The workforce. It's paper managed. Yeah.
Like that.
You're
like
right. That. It,
yeah. On the back end, what's stopping payroll from paying all these people? Not a whole lot.
Not much. Not much. Yeah.
Wow.
Right. Wow. No. So, see, you were worried about going on for long enough. We could go on and on.
Give me a mic and blah, blah, blah.
And that's it. You're off to the races. So look, as we close this up, we thank you so much for being a part of the show today. You. But we have a short game that we play with our guests. It's called This or That. And we give you two options. Either whatever, or you can say something else. And so Walt is going to take you through the first four, and then I'll close it out.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So Han Solo or Luke Skywalker?
Han Solo.
Yes. All right. The LA Dodgers or the Angels?
Dodgers.
Dodgers. Okay. Do you prefer coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Coffee.
And my last one, basketball or football?
Football.
All right.
Although we have the Warriors here, so what can I say? The Niners.
Gotcha.
Can I say?
There Niners. You go. That's right.
All right, Bryce.
All right. E-books or real books?
Real books. I have to. I'll sit on the plane. You're just not going to see me reading an ebook.
Me too. I had one. I had one for years, and I drifted away from it, and it was fine. I didn't miss it at all.
Being a technologist, I am admitting my weakness.
I know. It dates us too. I think it's just folks from different. Yeah. Okay. Here's the next one: YouTube or Hulu?
Hulu.
Gmail or Outlook?
Outlook.
Last one. Target or Walmart?
Target.
Okay. Nice. And before we let you go, Nov, what advice would you give to a payroll pro or an HR pro who is having a hard time accepting AI?
I would say if you have the opportunity to have access to AI in your organization, take a payroll run and ask different questions and see what kind of insights you get. Because I think you know it well enough. You probably ran a payroll. Have it, like I say, back into how much overtime was paid, how much was regular salary, and so on. And start asking a question. If you use ChatGPT, for example, you get some interesting stuff. So it's how you ask it, the data that it's looking at. But try to then pair it up with some HR information if you have that accessible. Just so overtime, was it one unit? So you start looking at the value that it may bring to you to assess what's going on in the world that you're running. And I think that brings you a little closer to the acceptance that AI is not an enemy, it's actually a tool. I always tell people, it doesn't solve your problem. The technology that we use is not a solution. It's a tool to help you solve the problem. But, and some people think, well, it's going to take my job. I guarantee you, it ain't going to take it.
That's right. Oh. Man, thank you very much. And before we go, folks, you can connect with Nove at collectivehrsolutions.com through his LinkedIn, Nove Omana. That's Novomana. Or his website, collectivehrsolutions.com. Thank you so much, Nove, for being on the show today.
And thank you very much. It was a pleasure. Anytime you want, I'm be happy to talk. You guys are a lot of fun to talk with.
Thank you very much. Likewise. We could go on and on. We'll have to schedule another one. We're actually looking to get on the road one day and do some in-person interviews. So we'd love to come to San Francisco. And
I was going to say, we won't even do it in San Francisco. We'll take it north to the wine country.
Oh, yes. Done. That's a plan. All right.
I'm gonna mark that down on my list.
That's right.
That's right. Thank you again.
Thank you so much, Nope. Have a good day.
Take care. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Before we sign off, here are a couple of quick things. Don't forget to follow It's About Payroll on LinkedIn and It's About Your Paycheck on Facebook and TikTok. Thank you for being a part of our payroll community, and thank you for being a part of this journey with us. Until next time, keep learning, keep growing, and most importantly, keep going.